Well, welcome to another fantastic interview in the interview series, the Inspiration and Possibilitarian series that I am your host of. So, of course, I'm Andrea Solinger with AndreaSolinger.com, and I am delighted today to bring you another interview from an incredible woman that I can't wait for you to meet and for you to hear her heart and her insight on her own journey through entrepreneurial world, if you will. And it is my friend, Rachel Archelaus. So, Rachel, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Good, good. Okay, you're coming in loud and clear. So before I hand the reins over to Rachel, let me give you guys just a little backstory on Rachel and where she comes from and what her gifts and talents are. So Rachel is internationally known as a psychic development coach, a teacher, an author, and an artist. Rachel has a bachelor's degree in psychology and combines her own form of intuitive drawing, channeling, and psychotherapy in sessions with her clients. Of course, her mission is to help her clients live a psychic lifestyle which aligns with you to the life your soul has created for you, a life containing your greatest contribution, fulfillment, and abundance. Holy cow. Like, how could you not be excited about meeting Rachel and finding out a little bit more, right? And she is, she has some amazing gifts in regards to her art and how she really helps you tap into finding out what your contribution and your fulfillment are. And so I can't wait for us to jump in. So, Rachel, I'm so glad that you decided to be one of our guests in our series. And I just want to say, give you a little shout out of thanks and gratitude for being willing to be transparent and share with everybody today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here with you.
Oh, good, good. I'm happy. So, you know, we so obviously we know a little bit about your work, but tell everybody that's listening a little bit about your life, kind of outside of your work, like, you know, where you live, what you love to do when you're not working, you know, I don't know, your most favorite food, the books you're reading. I mean, just give them a little insight on who you are.
Well, I live with my two cats and my boyfriend in the countryside of Connecticut, in Southbury, Connecticut, and a little dirt road. And when I'm not working, I love to read. At the moment, I'm reading The Art of the Sale, which has been really eye-opening. I love to garden. I love to paint and draw and really do anything creative. And I totally love to hike, anything outside. Just get me outside, and I'm really happy.
Ah, oh, I love it. I got such a good visual picture of this little dirt road. And your house is magical, I have to tell you. Like, the little visual that I have is so great. I want to know a little bit about that book. So The Art of the Sale, is it, I mean, clearly it's about business, but what is it that's really kind of resonating with you?
It's really how it's written. And so The author, he goes through different countries, different cultures, and sees how these different people make a living through sales. Like in the souk in Morocco, what is the difference in his style from the life insurance salesperson from Japan? It's just...
Oh, my gosh. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it's really fascinating.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love it. Let me jump over and, like, talk to you for a second about hiking. Do you like to do, like day hikes, short, you know, like, short and sweet, or do you like to go for, like, you know, like, camping in the woods, like, we're going to hike in, we're going to hike out, that type of thing, longer hikes?
My favorite is definitely to camp in the woods with minimalist equipment and just go for hikes every day. That is what I love to do. I love camping alone, too.
Oh, really? Wow. You've got this
great
heart. Holy cow. So I love that you brought that up because I'm reading the most awesome book ever. I mean, like, it's so funny how, you know, you find a book and you're just like, oh, I love that book, and it just totally hits home for where you're at right that moment. But it's obvious, I mean, it's one of the, you've probably read it. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. It's by Cheryl Strayed, and it's called Wild, and it's all about her journey hiking. Have you read it?
No, but it sounds like something I would love.
Oh, my gosh. It's so fascinating, Rachel. You would love it. Yeah, so it's all about her hiking the Pacific Crest Trail and kind of what the breakdown in her life that takes her to go out on this adventurous trek of hers. And, of course, she's a woman doing it alone, which, you know, most of us probably don't quite have the confidence or the brave heart, but obviously you do because you already just said that you like to camp by yourself. So you would totally be this woman. You have to read it. It's such a great book. I'm a little more than halfway done, and oh, it's like I can't put it down. I mean, every time I like have to put it down to go, you know, do something else, I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Like, I'm in the best part. It's so good. You would love it.
Oh,
well, I love
perfect. That's definitely the next book on my list now.
Yeah. Oh, good. Yeah, you totally have to. I can't wait for you to read it and tell me what you think. Yeah, you would love it. Well, I'm totally like to hike, but I'm not a girl that wants to camp by myself. Like, I want to know that somebody's going to help me, whatever, make the fire, you know, fend off the bear, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Oh, my gosh, fun. Do you guys have lots of trail, like, areas to hike and trails and whatnot around where you're at?
Yeah, my favorite parks are about 45 minutes from my house, but even in town, we have lots of trails, and
uh-huh.
Connecticut's pretty much littered with state parks, so you can't go too far without having good hiking.
Oh, that's so fun. Oh, my gosh. And I bet it's, like, beautiful there in the fall, right? Like, when all the leaves are changing, and, you know, all the pictures that you see on postcards and in magazines, it's always in, you know, Vermont and Connecticut, and I've never been to either state. And I always think, oh, my gosh, I want to live there in the fall just so I can witness that, you know, change of color. Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
Well, I bet it's totally an inspiring place for you, too, since you are an artist and that's such a huge part of what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, what, so let's talk about, like, how you got started as an entrepreneur. I mean, obviously, you went off to college and you majored in psychology, which I have to tell you, you're like the 10th entrepreneur that I've talked to that majored in psychology. And it makes me laugh because I think, oh my gosh, it's so true. Entrepreneurs love the kind of the science and the study of people, right, and of what makes them tick, which obviously is probably why you love the book that you're reading. But how did you like find yourself, you know, after college moving into the entrepreneurial spot? Or did you move there first? Or like, tell us your story.
So I'm one of those kids that grew up having a lemonade stand and a jewelry stand, and I was selling anything I could possibly sell or make when I was little. And I had my first online business, my online shop at 17, and
wow.
I was selling gifts. So I was making, you know, pillows and flower pots and stuff like that and selling them online. And I always knew that I had to work for myself. I just knew it. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, you know,
mm-hmm.
until later in life, but I knew I had to go it alone. And I did things a little bit out of order. So I started my business really early, and then I went to college for, it took me about 10 years to finish. I actually just graduated in May of this year.
Congratulations. So, that's a really good,
that's
a good feat because so many times people go, right? And if you leave or if things change, you don't actually, like, go back or finish.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. So I've had lots of different jobs over the years, but none of them have been a career. I've always
mm-hmm.
been working on my own thing on the side until I finally went full-time for myself about 2 years ago.
Hmm. That's awesome. And what made you decide to go full-time?
I was just ready. You know, I'm a firm believer in really knowing when the timing is right and feeling it and going with your gut. And so it just made sense to do it. I was supported. I had clients, and it just worked.
Mm, yeah, that's awesome. And so when you, obviously, like when you first started out with your lemonade stand and then with the online business, which, gosh, you're like such a pioneer because I think about what most 17-year-olds are doing, and it certainly isn't having a business, let alone forging ahead online, right, to have a business. So that's way cool. So, but, I mean, your business has kind of morphed and evolved to what it is now, which certainly wasn't what it was then. So how did you get, like, to where you're at right this minute? Was what you started 2 years ago this concept? And I'm sure it's probably, you know, grown in the last 2 years. But how did you get to this spot?
to this spot, things really changed when I started actually learning from people online who were, you know, artists, intuitives, and but actually growing a business. Before all of that, I was doing readings out of centers, and I was teaching at different centers, but I was relying on their advertising and their word of mouth. I wasn't really promoting myself, or I didn't have a game plan, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started realizing that, you know, to be a business person, you have to actually take the charge, you know, take the lead and do things. And so that's really what changed everything. I started marketing, and I started learning about, you know, opt-in pages and stuff like that. And
right.
that's really what shifted everything. The only thing I've really added to my repertoire is coaching. Before that, I was doing teaching and readings and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's awesome. And so, you know, for like the person that's listening that's thinking, oh, my gosh, this is cool, but what the heck does an artist intuitive, what does that mean? Can you kind of like explain how you work with clients like through art and you know, like I realize that obviously what you do with one client is most likely not the exact same thing that you do with another client because the needs are different, the response is different. But, like, can you kind of just paint a picture, if you will, of what do you do with your clients and how does art kind of get fused into that process?
Yeah. So the biggest hurdles that people have normally when they come to me are that they're naturally intuitive, but they don't trust themselves. And they have lots of brain fog and lots of stuff going around in their minds that aren't allowing them to really move forward, whether it's doubts or just clutter or worry or anxiety. And what art really does is it helps you get all of that stuff out of your head so that you can be clear. And it also, it allows you to see your process so that it's not just in your mind. So you're less likely to doubt something that's outside of you than if it's inside of you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Art allows you to see your process. So true.
Yeah.
I think so many times, even successful entrepreneurs, there's, you know, like somebody will say to them, well, how'd you do that? Whatever that is, right? They'll say, well, how'd you do that? And they'll say, well, I don't know, I just did it. And it's like they're so detached or unaware of the process. And it's probably a process that they use, you know, over and over and over. But because they're not connected to it or they're not allowing themselves to connect to it, I think intuitively, and you can speak to that, I think they just don't recognize it, right?
Yeah, it's that unconscious knowledge that we have. You know, we're really good at things, but we don't know how to duplicate it.
Yeah.
Or how to teach it, too.
Yeah, so crazy. So, like, I know, obviously, there was a time where you were doing a lot of training and teaching, you know, like you said, in the centers, and so that was live. But when you work with your clients that are, you know, halfway around the world or, you know, online, how do you work with them in regards to, like, the art piece? Like, are you guys Skyping and you're just walking them through, you know, step by step? Or do you have a guide? Or, like, you know, tell me how you do that.
Well, I have a couple different ways. I do have a free intuitive drawing class that people are watching. And then they're showing me their work for feedback and getting a little bit more clarity on that through me. But I also do classes through Skype internationally. So, you know, grab a few of your friends and show up for class, and I'll teach you over Skype anywhere you are. I have one in Australia in a couple of weeks, and I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that is so cool. And I know that you just alluded to it very subtly, but I will give a little shout out for it. So Rachel has an awesome intuitive drawing class that is online, and it's totally free, and so you can access that. And at the end of our interview, I'll have her give a shout-out as to how you guys can connect with her, because I know that there are going to be hordes of you that are going to want to take advantage of that. So cool. I love it. Well, so, okay, so tell me, Like, tell us a little bit about maybe some of the assumptions that you had that were, you know, were just wrong. Like, I think that every entrepreneur has assumptions, right? Whether they're good assumptions or bad assumptions, or whether they end up directing you, you know, in a good way or in a bad way. But there's usually some type of assumption, I think, that you go, oh my gosh, that was so incorrect. Like, what on earth was I thinking? You know, it just kind of not blows up, but you just go, holy cow, that wasn't even close to being on track. Were there any big assumptions that you came into, you know, entrepreneurship, like when you really went full time, that you're like, oh, that so does not translate?
Yeah, the biggest one I think was that blogging would make you money. I had, before my current blog, I had a different version of my blog, and I had lots of followers and, you know, thousands of posts, and it was so much fun, and I loved doing it, and people responded really well. And then I would start to make offers, like, you know, oh, look, this painting is for sale, hint, hint, you know, mm-hmm. or you can get a reading from me. And I never, ever to this day sold anything off that blog.
That's so true. That's like when people think, like, well, I'm going to write a book, and that's gonna catapult me to fame and fortune, right? And it's like, no, I mean, it's a really great thing to have. And most people, like, think they have a book to write and they want to write a book. Some people, you know, a lot of people just don't pull the trigger. But, no, you still have to do all the marketing pieces of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is huge, too. It's not just like, oh, okay, now I'll just market it. No, you have to learn. Learn a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
trial and error, too.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, that kind of reminds me of, like, so one of the things that you had said was, you know, like, you had to just kind of realize that you needed to learn all these, like, internet-type things, like how to do sales pages and how to, you know, how to do this or that or the other. And one thing that I know that I see with a lot of, you know, new entrepreneurs, and even I felt this, is there is a massive learning curve when it comes to learning how to get yourself out there, how to have a marketing strategy. I mean, don't you feel like that is a true statement?
That is absolutely true, yeah. And I'm a studier. I love jumping in and studying things, and I think marketing is fascinating. And I've probably been studying this stuff full-time for about 2 years, and I still don't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's working a little bit, but it's really, I think, about consistency and finding out what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And the thing is, too, is that I guess I'm a believer that you have to know that you, because it's technology and, you know, internet, and because it's marketing, it's ever-changing. And so you just have to know that you're going to have to get good at being flexible and changing and adapting, and you're going to have to know that you're not going to, like, learn it in one sitting, right? Like, you're going to learn something, and then you're going to apply it, and you're going to learn something else, and you're going to apply it. So it is kind of it's a lifelong thing. And what works for you isn't going to be what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about the theory of kind of, I am also a person of, you got to kind of throw everything at it, like everything you know, you got to throw all of it at it to figure out what really will work and what won't work. Is that your kind of marketing philosophy, or do you just do one thing at a time, or what do you prefer?
I try everything, and if I really don't, enjoy it, then I'll do it a little bit less. Like,
yeah,
like Twitter. I've tried Twitter. I've tried going on occasionally during the day. I've tried automating it, but it's not my favorite thing to do. And so I've learned to just be okay with that and move on to different things.
I love it. Thank you for saying that. I hate Twitter. I mean, I do it, but I don't like it. And I'm like, it does not make sense to me. I think I'm such a visual person that, like, I want to see pictures of people's faces and their stuff and things. And so, like, I just love Facebook way more. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, I never thought about the visual aspect, but that's true. I'm probably the same way.
Yeah, I just don't, I get, like, once in a while somebody will tweet a picture or something, but most of the time it's just those stupid 140 characters, right? And it's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so funny. Well, so, you know, along the way, of course, not only with marketing, but I'm sure many other things. There's always like fears that surround, you know, putting yourself out there and, you know, I mean, like, if it will work, right? Or just all the different little roadblocks that, you know, sometimes actually feel like roadblocks and sometimes it feels like, you know, freaking Mount Everest. But what were some of, like, your big fears?
My big fear was, I think, just telling people what I do. Because I'm a psychic and not everyone is really into that, I was really worried that people wouldn't take me seriously if I told them what I did. Yeah, so I was really open about being psychic and what I was seeing when I was growing up. But then in high school, it backfired a little bit. And I think I carried that pain with me for a good long time until I really dealt with it and just learned to not really care what the response was. And since I've done that, I haven't gotten any bad responses. So.
So true. When you let it go, right, when you release it, then it's like it has no power. So you probably don't even hear the negative if there is negative.
Yeah.
You're so passive.
It's been awesome. I've gotten one or two comments on YouTube over the years, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah, and it's, you know, from who? Like some uneducated person that lives in the basement of their mother's house when they're 55, right? I mean, it's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
you can't really.
Yeah, you're like,
that.
Okay,
that's
get weird. Real. Like, oh, I'm not going to care what you think. What, well, so what, you know, like, have you found, too, that once you were able to really be clear about what it is that you do and who you are and what you offer, that new opportunities continue to, you know, kind of populate your life and your work?
Yeah, it's become definitely a little bit more effortless when I talk to people and I tell them about intuitive drawing. I get a lot of requests to teach classes in different states and, you know, different countries, and it helps to spread the word almost by itself.
That's so awesome. I love it. I want to know how to do intuitive drawing. I'm just like, I can't even think of what my next question is because I'm in my head thinking, yeah, how do I draw?
It's really fun.
I bet it is. I'm like, what do you think about, like, somebody's like, I'm not a good drawer. Like, I'm very artsy-fartsy and crafty in my own little way, but as far as, like, could I draw something? Well, I could, but would you ever know what it is actually supposed to be? No, you would never know that, yep, that's a horse. I mean, you'd be like, nope, it looks like roadkill. What are you doing? So what do you say to the people that are like, oh, gosh, I'm not really an artist. Could I do that?
Well, the good thing about intuitive drawing is that everything is abstract. Mm. And when you're drawing, you're actually doing it with your eyes closed.
Oh, my gosh, Rachel.
Yeah. So it doesn't even matter. It's more about the colors and the patterns of when you're done. You're sort of making a map. And when you're done with your drawing, you get to read the map based on the colors and the patterns. So no skills is A-okay.
Wow. That's awesome. My gosh, I'm so excited. That's very cool. So what about some breakthrough moments for you? Have you had moments where you've just gone like, you know, like, hot damn, like, that is my light bulb moment, get out of the way world, I got it now?
I think my breakthrough moments have come through my clients. When they have a breakthrough, that allows me to really understand the kind of work that I'm doing. Does that make sense? So I have this one client who was anxious his whole life, grew up sort of abused, never felt good about himself, never really felt happy. And then after a session, we got to the core of it, and he felt happiness, and he allowed himself to feel it. And I just, that's really when I'm excited, you know. It's not even necessarily about me. It's just, okay, now I can enjoy that moment, and I can know that what I'm doing is worthwhile.
Yeah, that is so awesome. It's so heart-centered. And I totally get that. It gives you like this, it's so organic, right? This energy that just propels you forward, and you just can't even like grab a hold of it. It's just there. Oh, cool. I love it. I love it. So what about, like, what about when you have moments where you're, you know, where you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm in kind of a funk, or my creative flow has somehow been snagged, you know, on something? Or, like, I always think about my creative flow like a faucet, and there are times where it just is gushing out and I can't stop the ideas and the creation if I wanted to. And then other times where it's like you go to the faucet and you turn it on full blast and, you know, it's like drip, drip, nothing. And you're like, so, like, what happens when you get into, like, a, you know, a dry spell or a funk? Like, what do you, what's your kind of, you know, ritual or practice that you do to get yourself out of that? Or, you know, just, I realize that sometimes it's not getting yourself out of it. Sometimes it's embracing that you're just there. But what do you do, like, you know, if you're like, okay, I got to work with a client or something, and you know, you got to get your energy up.
If it's just a little thing, like I'm lost in my email and I'm starting to feel heavy and not really motivated, then I'll just step aside and I'll take a minute to just, like, feel into my heart and meditate for a few minutes and just remember why I'm doing it, you know, like let myself feel really good and find my joy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough to shift my energy enough. But if it's really bad, and sometimes it is, then I really need to get moving and like go in the woods and take a walk and really work up a sweat, because that is the best thing I can do when I'm in a funk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Yeah, to change your physiology, right? To be like,
yeah,
okay, let's go. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. So true. I agree wholeheartedly. So, well, what? So, tell me, kind of like, do you have a creative process, like when you are just really experiencing great, you know, that creative download and that flow is just gushing out? Do you have a creative process when you're, you know, working on programs or products or whatnot?
I try to just ride the wave. I try
mm-hmm.
not to control it or interfere too much. So if I feel it coming, then I'll get out all the supplies that I need. Like if it's painting, I'll get out my canvas and my paints and my rags and just set up and be ready.
Mm.
And if it's creating a program, or, you know, and I feel like I need to map it out,
mm-hmm.
I'll get out my markers and my paper, and I just try to stay out of the way and just jump in really when it gets there.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know what I love that you just said was just that you're open. You just open. You're like open and like, okay, well, what's going to go? You know, what's going to happen? Let's go. And I love that, and that you're not trying to really dictate how it's going to unfold. And I also love, this is going to make you laugh, I love that you said you use markers. Of course you do. You're an artist. But I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. Yeah, when I, like, map out programs, wouldn't it be so much more fun if I was using, like, you know, big sheets of paper and big colorful markers? Like, how much more fun would that be versus a, you know, black ink pen and a, you know, legal pad? Oh, my, yeah. Okay, good. No,
yeah, then you can color code.
Yeah, totally. I love it. It's like, so it just feeds that creative, you know, spirit of it all. Yeah, I love
mm-hmm.
it. That's so awesome. Thanks for the marker tip. That's great.
Sure.
Well, so what about, you know, mentors? I know everybody has kind of a different philosophy about, you know, mentors that they follow, or whether they follow any or whatnot. Do you have mentors that you follow? And, like, you know, if so, like, how did you find them? Or, you know, like, who are they? Why do you follow them? Why do you like them?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by people, and I think that lots of different people have lots to offer in different areas. So everyone has, like, their own specialty, and I tend to get obsessed with people. So if I'm on to one person, I'll read all their books, I'll watch all their videos, I'll read their blog, get what I need out of them, and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're
I
like
really
a stalker.
Love, yeah. A mentor stalker.
Yeah, totally. Funny. That's cool.
Yeah.
So do you have one right now or several right now that you're really like, oh, my gosh, I've glommed onto them. I love their stuff.
I really like Christina Morassi right now because she's so heart-centered, but she's trying to help us along and really be authentic and but also
mm-hmm.
successful, which I love. I really like Morgana Ray. I'm new to her. And
oh, that's so
I love
funny.
Her.
I just found her the other day. That's so crazy.
Oh, yeah. She's great with her, you know, make money a relationship. That just is brilliant. I never would have thought of that, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it really is. I can't remember. I watched some of her little video clips, and I was like, wow, I'm so fascinated with that concept. And I think I had just read, like, that day, not from her, but I'll just a really quick little post, like, on Facebook, and it totally hit me. And it was something about, you know, why do we say make money? Because you don't make, I mean, are you in your house making the money? No, you're not making the money. You're inviting money in. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You're inviting money in. That's true. And I thought, yeah, I mean, I believe that. You invite money in or you propel it away depending on that relationship, right? And then I found her, and I thought, oh, my gosh, so true. Like, okay, like maybe this is what I need to hear today because I heard it, you know, twice. But yeah, she's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other one I like is Leonie Dawson. She's in Australia. She's so creative and free, and I really like her energy a lot.
Yes, I love her energy. And you just used the best word for her. She's so free. Like, she just, you just don't doubt that you get her authentic person, right, at any moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love that, that, I mean, I guess I would say I aspire to be that, you know. I really like it. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm in kind of in awe of her, too. That's awesome. I love that we have some of the same ones. That's so cool. So
yeah.
What, yeah, well, what are you, like, what are you working on right now that you're super excited about?
I actually am finishing up a book about my experiences as a teenager living in a haunted house, and my life was like a horror movie for a few years. And it's all good now. It's, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I'm really happy it happened, but it's definitely an interesting story and one that I've put off writing about for a long time. And so, yeah, that's my current project, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's awesome. You know, I just started reading another book that you might like. It's called Rings of Truth by Jim Britt. And I have to tell you, I just want to confess, I started reading this book, but not in sequential order. I looked at the names of the chapters, and I was like, oh, I like that. So I read that chapter, then I went back and read another chapter, and I've been kind of zigzagging my way, and I realized the other day, like, I probably should read the first two chapters, but I don't want to say it's about, like a haunting or a ghost, or because it's not from what I can gather, but it is definitely about a spirit. It's really interesting. Anyway, so yeah, you should look at that one too. I think you would
like
that. Yeah, that's awesome. Very cool. So, cool. Well, that's exciting. And I know you have like your class that you're excited about in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so great. How many classes do you typically try to do like that, like in a month?
Normally 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does
I have
a lot
different
of
levels
energy?
Too.
Yeah, I bet. Does it take a lot of your energy? I mean,
no.
And I don't mean necessarily, you know, like work-wise, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes when you are doing something that is so consuming of your heart and your soul, you like you don't really realize that it's going to take so much energy, and then when you're done, you're like, oh, my gosh, I feel like I just ran a marathon. Like, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Not with teaching. Teaching definitely lights me up and gives me energy for the rest of the day. Yeah,
that's good. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What? Yeah, cool. So, what? Like, can you like reflect over, you know, all of your work, you know, everything that you've done up to this point? Is there something, or maybe there's multiple somethings that you just think, oh my gosh, I am the most proud of that?
I think I'm most proud of bringing intuitive drawing to people, because it's something that I figured out that I could do when I was about 12. And then I just sort of figured out that I could teach it when I was, I don't know, 20 or so. And people just really like it. And it's really helpful tool for them. So that's probably my proudest accomplishment.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. Yeah, I love it. Okay, well, and on that note, we're going to wrap up our interview. But I, before we say goodbye, tell everybody how they can connect with you and find your intuitive drawing class.
Yeah, so if you go over to psychiclife.tv, you'll find my website, and there's a box on the right-hand side where you can learn to become your own oracle. So if you fill in your email and your name there, you'll get two classes. You'll get a full-length intuitive drawing class, and you'll also get a mini training on connecting with your higher self.
I love it. That's so awesome. And, of course, on the webpage, the hub for all of the interviews, Rachel's interview will be there. And just look for her name, Rachel Archelaus, and you can find the way to get to her interview. You can find the connection to her website and also how to connect with her via social media. And so I just want to say thank you so much, Rachel, for your time and your energy and your insight. I love it. I know that other people are going to love it. And I can't wait to see what blossoms and blooms from here and just to catch up with you within the next year and see and hear all the great things that you're doing. So thank you so much for your time and for everything that you shared today.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm so glad. I love it. I love it. So you guys, so make sure that you head on over to Rachel's website. It's www.psychiclife.tv, and you can tap into, like she said, her amazing free class on intuitive drawing. So thanks again, and you guys can look forward to more interviews like this, full of inspiration and possibility. For your listening pleasure on AndreaSullinger.com. So have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys soon on the next interview.